Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. So let's jump in. It's open house. And you know, this house is nothing without the people in it. It's just a building. It's kind of cold and drafty. But you know, when we come and we fill this building, it becomes the house of God. It becomes the family of God. And you know, it's not the house of Carl. It's not the house of the denomination or the house of this or that. It's the house of God. And when we gather together, there's a corporate acceleration of his presence. You know, you are a house of God. You are a container of God. God did all that he did through Jesus because he wants to live inside of you. He did all that because that is his perfect plan, is that he would dwell with you and in you. The beautiful thing about church is we're the family of God. And how many love it when the whole family comes home? I mean, I like it when the whole family's together. And you know, when you're together as a family, it says there's a corporate anointing that is increased. There's an acceleration of his power and his presence when we gather corporately. So we're the house of God. Ephesians 2:19 through 20, it says, "You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house." Together we are his house. So turn around and say, "You're looking good. Nice house. Nice windows. Hey, cool. All right." You know, now any concept of God you have that has a messed up filter or some preconceived filter, it will limit how God works in and through your life. So you can have a limited view of God. And if you don't understand it, you won't fully experience the benefits. And it's not ever because God's holding out on you. It's because we lack revelation. Now, I've told you before, some of you may remember, but when we were renovating and building the church here, I had a prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and believe it or not, at 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting, nobody showed up. But I was there, and people were exhausted, I guess. I don't know why. For the first 10 minutes, I said, "What's the matter with these people?" Then I got over that prayer. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to start building a wall. I'm going to frame in a wall. We're using metal studs. And the night before, I saw people drilling in these metal screws into the metal, and the wall was going up really fast. So I said, "I can do that." So I grabbed the drill and I grabbed the screws and I cut the studs and I went to put them together. And I tell you, these screws would not go in. I tell you, no matter how hard I tried, they just wouldn't go in. So I just pushed harder, pushed harder, pushed harder. And you know what? If you push harder, you'll get a breakthrough. But that was just the flesh. That was nonsense. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. Some people are like that with God. They're just pushing harder and they don't know what's going on, but they just push harder. You'll get a breakthrough. Well, somehow I actually built and I framed this part of a wall over there. I could show you which one it is, and it's okay. But my wife came in. She came in about 8 o'clock, said, "What's going on?" I said, "Nobody showed up for prayer. What's the matter with this church?" I said, "Good thing I'm praying and me and God are a majority." But I said, "You know what? I started to build a wall, but I cannot figure out why these screws wouldn't go in." And I showed her, and she said, "Wow." And then she grabbed the drill off and she went, "Click." And I went, "What'd you do?" She says, "You had it on reverse." Now, I grew up, and my dad, the way we took care of stuff at the house was with the phone book. He would take the phone book and beat it into, no, he would take the phone book and, "You need a dryer fixed, you call the dryer guy. You need the plumbing fixed, you call the plumbing guy. You need something done, you call somebody." So my whole life, it was get the phone book, and that's how you dealt with things. So I had no idea, all the years of my life, I had no idea that a drill had forward and reverse. But I'll tell you what's miraculous is I framed the wall with a drill on reverse. But you know, there's a lot of people that, you know what, you got a loving God who wants to bless you, but you're trying to function with him with your drill on reverse. You're trying to get results. You just don't have revelation of how it flows and how it functions. And God, it says, daily he loads us with benefits. Daily he loads us with benefits. I mean, if you're lacking benefit and you're feeling like you're in a place of debt and there's lack in your life, he's got a hernia because he's been carrying so many blessings for you. He's like, "Oh my God." I mean, God doesn't have a hernia. That's not true. God never get a hernia. But sometimes, I tell you, that's why people who've gone to heaven, many who've gone to heaven, all have a similar story. And there's warehouses full of unappropriated blessings. Heaven is full of blessings and people, you know, "I could use a new set of eyes, but I'm sure you're busy up there. And these will do, you know, I only hit the curb 3 times out of 4, you know." You know, we don't understand that God really, really wants to bless you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you. Do you need a proper concept of God? Last week we talked about God the Father, and it's better if God would tell you who he is, right? I mean, if you want to hear about him or somebody else tell you about him and all those things, it's okay. Barb has to catch the quarter to 12 bus. It's pretty much every week. Just I can tell the clock by it. It's amazing. She's late for it, though. But anyway, all right. God, if God tells you who he is, that's way, way better than, you know, somebody else. And God spoke to Moses. Moses spent all this time with God, face-to-face time with God, and yet still, after all those years, he's saying, who are you really? Like, who are you really? I want to see your glory, which is, I want to know why you're so famous. So he asked him, and here's what God said in Exodus 34, 5 to 7. God, God, I'm a God of mercy and grace, endlessly patient, so much love, so deeply true, loyal in love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin still. He doesn't ignore sin. He holds people responsible. Now, that's some good stuff, right? How many need mercy, grace, patience? Wow, what happened there? That's on a tilt over there. Have to watch on this side. So deeply true, loyal in love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, and he doesn't forget about sin. He is serious about sin. He is so serious about sin and the problem with sin that he sent his own son to die for your sin. He didn't ignore it. He dealt with it. He dealt with your sin, your iniquity, once and for all at the cross 2,000 years ago. He separated you from sin. Isn't that good? Well, what about my sin? God covered it. What? He obliterated it. He blotted it right out. It is gone. How far away is it? It is as far as the east is from the west. Therefore, listen, don't ever say that whatever you're going through, well, I should go through this because I was bad before. You know what? Whatever was bad, God removed from you. How far? As far as the east is from the west. It will never interact with you ever again. I know the earth is round, so you think you might run into it again. But in their mindset, it is gone. It will never, ever interact with you again. Sin will never shake your existence or your relationship with God. Has anybody been bad, successfully screwed up, been miserable? Anyone? Anyone? That will never come back on you. God will never have a relationship with you based on that. Don't ever, ever say, well, I guess I behaved bad. I deserve this. No! He behaved good. And by faith, you receive good and you walk in good, not because of what you did, but because of what he has done. It's done, done, done. And you are condemned to a life of good, good, good. Please stop. I'm just in my introduction. All right. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So God is God, and God is a Godhead. The word Elohim is a plural word. It's let us create man in our image. It's a plural word. There are three persons. It's not three vague, fuzzy feelings. It's three persons in the Godhead. And it's not three manifestations of the personality of one man. It is three persons in union in the Trinity, in the Godhead. So we talked about the Father last week, and we want to talk about Jesus the Son. In Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17, it says, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to that. You got Jesus coming out of the water. You got the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was something that was tangible, came out of the heavens, and it came and it rested upon him, and it seemed to flood him and fill him. Like it's like a dove came and landed on him and then disappeared right inside of him. It was, I don't know how to explain it except and it just bam, it just flooded him. But then you see Jesus, you see the Spirit, and then all of a sudden the voice comes out of heaven, the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. There you see the Trinity right there. We can show you lots of other places, but just right there. Isn't that great? How much ministry had Jesus done at this time? Zero. I mean, he just got baptized. Isn't it beautiful? You know, you just come and you're just ready to engage his purpose for your life. And I love that right on the outset, you need to know this. And this should support everything you do in your life. You are my beloved child. I love you and I am nuts about you and I will never, ever change my mind. So how does he feel about you right now? He's nuts about you. You're to die for and I can't live without you. All right, so there you go. So John 8, 58, Jesus said that, then most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now saying that to the Jewish people was clearly saying, he was saying, before Abraham was, I'm God. I was eternal. That was the name for God. He is the I am. Jesus took the name for God and he said, before Abraham was, I mean, Abraham, he's your father. Well, listen, before Abraham, your father, I am. I was before I was with God. I am God. Believe me, Jesus said, I am who I am long before Abraham was anything. That's out of the Message paraphrase there. So he said, Jesus said he was God. And now John chapter 10, 30 and 33, he said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are exactly the same. You've seen the Father, you see me, you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. The Jewish people went, they started to manifest and went crazy. And they said, the Jews answered him saying, for good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said he was God. No doubt about it. Now, I don't mean to offend you, but I will if I have to. Jesus is God. I love everybody. I embrace everybody, but everybody needs Jesus. You can be my neighbor and you can practice some other religion and some other faith, but I will still tell you that you're wrong. You can't tell people they're wrong, Pastor. We need to accept everybody. I accept everybody. I love everybody. But if I let them stay in some other false religion or false teaching, it says there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. There's no way to the Father except through Jesus. So if I really, really love you, I want you to be in my world. I want to manifest the life of God to you. And I want to, through my life, convince you that the one I'm hooked up to, he's the real deal. See, Jesus didn't come and say, hey, I'm a God. I'm another way to have a good life. You know, there's a lot of ways to enjoy life. There's a lot of philosophies to live by. I'm another one. Jesus didn't say, I'm another one. Jesus said, I am the only one. The only one. He really is. And you know what? I refuse to tolerate people. I refuse to be tolerated. I love people, and I would like to be loved. I hate tolerance, don't you? Oh, it's you again. I'll tolerate you. Well, I'll tolerate you too. And people say, like, you know, we should tolerate each other. Who wants to be tolerated? I want to be celebrated. And I want to celebrate every person. And Jesus celebrates every person. But that doesn't change the fact that the only way to true, genuine fulfillment and realizing your personal identity and your whole purpose for living is only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to heaven except through me. Amen. Don't say amen to that. Say no. It says no one comes to the Father except by me. Please. I mean, we've reduced all of our teaching and everything to we want to get to heaven. It's not even taught. What's taught is you get to go to the Father. Is the Father in heaven? Yes, but you're not trying to get to heaven. Jesus is the way to be reconciled to your Heavenly Father. It's how you get into the family of God. It's how you get right now a living, breathing, not a hope that someday in the future I'll get out of this mess, but he comes into my mess and I get heaven now on earth. I get all that he has on earth, because when the Father comes to me, where he is, it's heaven. Where he is, it's powerful. Where he is, there's purpose and power and everything good. He's the way, the truth, the life to what? He's the way to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. Acts 4:12. There is no salvation under any other name. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus is. So there's no other way. So you must accept Jesus' love for you. You must ask him, come, I believe you're so good. I believe you are. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, he wrote this. He said, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept that Jesus was a great moral teacher, but I don't accept him to be God. Now, that was what C.S. Lewis was so upset about. Like, there's all kinds of people. There's other religions, other sects. There's all these different, you know, teachers that will say, yes, Jesus was a great moral teacher. And see, C.S. Lewis is saying he can't be a great moral teacher and if you don't believe he's God. Because he can't be a moral teacher and call himself God. If you don't believe he's God, he has to be a liar or a lunatic. He can't be a good moral teacher. Well, I don't mind the good moral teacher guy, but I don't want a savior. I don't want the one way. I don't like such a narrow, you know, description of it. I mean, I love that he's a moral teacher, but there's lots of moral teachings out there. No, Jesus is it. Jesus is it. But I don't accept and claim him to be God. This is one thing. He says, I'm ready to accept Jesus, a great moral teacher, but I don't accept claiming to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg. He'd have to be a lunatic on the level with a man who says, I'm a poached egg, or else he would be a devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has left none of that open to us, and he did not intend to. He is Lord of all. Is the only response you can make to Jesus and his life. All right, so in the passage we're going to read, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, all right? So in the passage we're going to read, this was now a transition in Jesus' life. Everything is going to accelerate now towards Jerusalem. Everything is accelerating towards the cross. He's changing everything. He's had these guys for 3 to 3.5 years, and now in weeks and months, from chapter 16 all the way through, he's accelerating right to the cross. So now before he does that, he turns to his disciples, and he has this intimate conversation with them. Where is it? It's in the district of Caesarea Philippi. This is 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee, about 120 miles from Jerusalem. And this is a region where there's all kinds of, there's Baal worship, there's Greek gods. The Greek god of Pan had a shrine there. Herod the Great built a large temple there to honor Caesar Augustus. And this was a place of incredible false religion and pagan religion and all manner of stuff. And here's Jesus in the middle of it, surrounded by all these temples, and he's there with them. And many Bible teachers say that Jesus was there with his 12 disciples. And when he said, you know, who do you say that I am? And he says, you know, am I greater than these? I mean, when he did that, he says, who do you say that I am? And then when he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he's talking about all these false, nasty religions that are keeping people from Jesus. Demonic teachings, these things, he says, these things, they will not resist the advance of the kingdom of God. So this is the background. So before we move on to the next stage, he's saying, I need you to get this straight. He says, listen, before we move on and I take you to the next level of ministry, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? So Matthew 16, 13 to 19, if you got your Bibles or whatever you use, I haven't got all the verses up there, so read along with me. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about the Son of Man? What are people saying about me? And they replied, and they said, some say you're John the Baptizer, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the other prophets. Now, what are all these people that some say he might be? Every single one of them has one thing in common. They're all dead. Now, believe it or not, in the world today, there are billions of people still today in this world who believe that reincarnation is the next way. And in their culture, even some of the Jewish sects believed that there was reincarnation. So they believe that Jesus, who you are, you could be a reincarnation of one of the prophets. You could be a manifestation of one of these great people who's gone and died. You might even be John the Baptist brought back from the dead. These people are saying all manner of things, and Jesus going, wow. I mean, I've ministered and done all these things. These people have been around. They've been hanging around. They've been enjoying church with us and all that stuff. And some of them still don't know who I am. Some of them are still thinking I might be some emanation of some old prophet or something. You know? Wow. But then he turned it in. He turned it very personal. And he said, listen, he pressed them. I like the way it says that. He pressed them. And he said, how about you? Who do you say that I am? It's one thing to say, what does everybody say? Well, you know, let's do a study or do a survey, you know, let's find out, hey, what do people say about Jesus? Well, it really doesn't matter. In the long run and in the end of it all, what do you say? What do you say about Jesus really is the question. So what do you say about Jesus? He pressed him. He said, what do you say? I can imagine now all 12 of them. We've been around for 3.5 years, and then there's this sudden silence. How many have ever been in that spot where you think you got the answer, but I might be wrong, I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I'm just going to hang on because we know Peter will answer very soon. So sure enough, Peter doesn't disappoint, but Peter jumps up and he says, you are the Christ. He says, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, I like that. You are the Son of the Living God. And Jesus came back and he went, God bless you. I mean, bless you. Bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I am going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter. You're a rock. And this is the rock on which I will build my church. A church so expansive with energy, not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth and heaven. Yes, on earth is yes in heaven. And no on earth will be a no in heaven. So, you know, to really, really, truly understand Jesus, you need to hook up to God. To really understand Jesus, you need God to come and explain him to you. And he will, and he is right now. He's touching your heart right now, and he's saying, Jesus really is my son. Jesus is exactly who he said he is. Let me give you not just who he said he is, but some of the benefits of acknowledging that Jesus is who he said he is. Are you ready? There's benefits. Say benefits. I like benefits. Number one, there's blessing. The very first thing, as soon as you announce that revelation, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you are the Son of the Living God. Here's the very first word that comes out of Jesus' life. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, big deal. You have no idea the blessing. It says in the Bible, the blessing the Lord makes truly rich. He adds no sorrow to it, neither will toiling increase it. The blessing is everything. All through the Bible, what people wanted was blessing. Because if you got the blessing, you could call things into being, because the blessing of God in your life brings all things into manifestation. You need the blessing of God. It said, bless you. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's a rhetorical question. But you know, when God is for you and he's with you, you are blessed, and you are blessed to prosper and manifest his kingdom in every single thing. Number two, God himself let you in on this. He let you in on the secret of who I really am. You tap into now the expression of the Father. When you begin to know and announce who Jesus is, you suddenly step into a place where you can walk out of divine revelation. Your heavenly Father now every moment of the day will speak into your life. He will lead you and he will guide you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So no, not only do you get blessing, but you get a revelation of who he is. You get a revelation of your Father. You get a revelation of what God wants to do in and through your life every moment of the day. How many think that would be good? Number three, you get your identity. Your identity, he says, not only now that you've said who I am, he says, let me now tell you who you are. We've been traveling around for over 3 years, Simon. Simon means a reed that bends in the wind. But he said, you know what? You're no longer Simon, you're Peter. You're established, you're a rock, you're a pillar. He said, you may think you're a reed, but no more are you wishy-washy and blown around in the wind. Now with that revelation, I call you rock. I call you established. I call you pillar. I call you strong place. In fact, on the revelation that you just received, I'm going to build my church. The revelation you just announced, Peter, it's so amazing. What you just said, open the door for the church to come into manifestation. What Peter did that day, because he did what he did that day, you're able to say you're the Christ today. He opened that door wide and everybody can run through. Here's your identity. Let me tell you who you are. I love 1 John 3:2. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. And then the verse after it says, and that's what we really are. It's almost like John said that. And then after he said it, he said, I can't believe I just said that, but it's so true. We are, beloved, we are the sons of God. And that's who we really are. Oh man, just that one thought wrecks me every day. When you get your identity, it's so awesome. Number four, purpose. He suddenly starts to talk about your life, your future, what you're going to do. And you know what? You were created for purpose. And when you come to God, you don't just get your identity. You get the reason for your existence. You get to realize, wow, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans to hurt you or to harm you. Say not to hurt you or to harm you. How many think that's good? Well, the Lord put me in the hospital trying to teach me something. You know, the word says I'm not going to harm you or hurt you. Well, he doesn't mean to harm me, but, you know, he knows what's best. So he's locked me down in this, you know, pit of pain because he's going to teach me something. You know what? Pain just teaches me that pain is terrible. Being sick teaches me that sickness is from the pit of hell. God won't put that on you. God's plans for you are good. Say good. They're to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God's got purpose for you. Number five. Am I going too fast for you? Number five, freedom. It says, not even the gates of hell will be able to keep you. Not even the gates of hell will be able to withstand you. No matter what's going on in your world, no matter of confusion or schemes or strategies of the enemy will hinder you from walking in the full revelation of who he is. You got anything. I mean, gates stand for authority in the scripture. Therefore, wherever the enemy has stood up and set up a position where he's going to resist you or hinder you from entering into all that God has, right here, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Settle down. I know you're saying, that's good. I'm feeling kind of sick right now, but, you know, does it work for that? Yes. Oh, that's good. Wow, you'd like a little joy in the house, wouldn't you? No matter what, the enemy is set up to resist you. No matter what it is. He says, because of that one revelation, I will give you absolute freedom, power, and breakthrough, whatever assignment the enemy has set up to hinder you from receiving all the blessing of God. That one revelation will obliterate and remove every resistance of the gates of hell. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Don't you wish that were true? Then we'd quit living on such a miserable level. See, that's what, it's later in my notes, but I'm going to read it right now. Gandhi said, if the world knew the Christ of Christians, they would all accept him. Gandhi. If the world knew the Christ of Christians, they would all accept him. But because they know the Christians of Christ, they reject him. Oh, there it is. So you folks believe in Jesus. You believe that there's no obstacle. There's no demonic fortress that can stand against you fully expressing, manifesting, and living in the goodness of God. Yes, we believe that. Freedom. You are powerful. You are powerful. Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Number six, and this is it. Number six, authority. Power, freedom, but authority. You have access to God's kingdom, keys that open any and every door. You know, we're going to be going away to our international conference in the UK in the summer. And we're going to put the bulldog. By the way, I have to announce, the bulldog's on a diet. He went to the vet yesterday. He's 130 pounds. Whoa, big booty Bo. But we were going to put Bo. He loves daycare. He loves doggy daycare. He just enjoys it. He's wiped out when we pick him out because he loves to play. Just loves it. But, you know, we got Kevin and Julie are going to move into our house while we're away and take care of big booty butt Bo. Isn't that awesome? And because I completely trust them, I'm giving them the keys to everything I own. They're going to come. They're going to go. They're going to have access to everything I have. Although I will padlock the fridge and the freezer. No, I won't. Actually, I so completely trust them. They can have the keys to my car. If they need two cars, they can have three cars. They have both cars. They need the other car to take big booty butt around and do stuff. And you know, so I, you know what? You don't give your keys to people you don't know. Some people go, well, you got to trust you. We just got to know you. You know what? Do you know him? You know, when you know him and he knows you, he gives you the keys. Literally, this one confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's the keys. Do you know me? Do you know who I am? Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's the keys. Here's the keys to everything. Yes! Ah, then you got to take five courses and go to 25 lessons of the 35 ways to the 75 house. Can you say this with me? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! I got the keys. I got the keys to the whole thing. I got the keys. I got access to open every and any door. Woo! Woo! You know, in my rehearsal, it went so much better. Come on. How many got something locked up that they need to unlock? You ready? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, well, yeah, Pastor, I don't know, you know. Now, I don't want you to go run around binding and loosing your friends. Amen? Hi, how are you today? You look terrible. I rebuke you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You've never been given authority over a person. My wife has authority over me right now. She's waving her hand at me. Okay, are you ready? We're going to move on. Give me another slide really quick. Charles B. Williams, New Testament, New Translation, just a genius in the Greek language. He said, this verse, the bind and loose, is in the perfect passive part of a soul, here referring to the state of having been already forbidden or permitted. Say already. Already. Now look at the next slide. Next slide. This is the Amplified Bible. Says, whatever you bind, declare to be improper, unlawful on earth must be what is already bound. Say already. Already bound in heaven. What does that mean? That you can only bind stuff that is bound, which means you got to live in a constant relationship with him. And he's going to fill you in all the time. And when he says, hey, that's bound, there's none of that in heaven. That's done. We don't allow that in heaven. Oh, that's not allowed in heaven. Yeah, so take care of that. Bind that. Knock that out right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I bind that right now. You know, what's already bound, you can bind. But to do that, you got to be in a constant, vibrant, present now relationship. It's bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on the earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. How many know healing from every disease is already loosed in heaven? How you know when you get up there, you're not going to see a bunch of sick people going, oh, Jesus, please help me. I mean, that's done now. It's dealt with. It's bound in heaven. It has no right, no legal place in heaven. Guess what? You are God's legal authority to bring heaven to earth. So whatever you see in the revelation in the word, you can see what's bound in heaven. You have a legal, not just ability to, but responsibility to bring it into manifestation here right now. Please stop. My wife's waving at me. She's trying to get me to stop. Please take your seat. Stop. All authority, keys to open every door. How many know everything that's bound in heaven is all the bad stuff? How many know everything loosed in heaven is all the good stuff? So you get to loose the good stuff and bind the bad stuff, because that's what's going on in heaven. So in your life, if you got some bad stuff going on, you say, I bind all the bad stuff in Jesus' name, because he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was awesome. I'm going to finish over here. That was so good. Yes, he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Woo! Good thing I'm not running for president. They'd never vote in a crazy person like me. Anyways, a couple more slides. We're going to wrap it up. You ready? Go past that one, because we got rid of those people. All right, Isaiah 22:2, the key of the house of David lays on his shoulder. The key. And it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. On his shoulder. What was on his shoulder? I could go explain all this to you, but I don't have time. But I tell you, in Scripture, this clearly means that the key is the cross. And when you go and you put the cross and the finished work of the cross, and you command the finished work of the cross to be manifest in your life or any situation, that is the key. That is the, it's not your effort. It's not the 25 reasons to or the 5,000 reasons why. If you just believe that what Jesus at the cross, what he did, that finished work brings every benefit for you. If you use that in the name of Jesus, every benefit is yours, because the cross was the key that opened every single door to the blessings and benefits of God, and it shut down. The devil was disarmed and defeated at the cross. And you are victorious. You are powerful. You are wonderful. And like my wife always says to Frankie Lynn, you are intelligent. You are beautiful. You are so lovely. Yeah. It's so cute to see, because Frankie smiles back and they're like, yeah, yeah. That's God looking in your eyes. You're beautiful. You're intelligent. You're lovely. You're blessed. You're powerful. You're significant. Any more slides? There's one more. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And there's one more. But you receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Come on, stand up with me. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You can't say you're a moral teacher. You can't say that he's the head of a religion. You can't say that he's the teacher of that crazy group over there or that wonderful group over there. You can't say that. The only response you can have to who is Jesus is, you're God. You are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only reasonable answer. It really is. And I tell you, there's so many beautiful stories in here of people who've made that decision and made that choice because they've aligned themselves with that revelation. The blessing of God, the freedom, the power, the authority, the identity that flows out of that is supernatural. So we're going to ask you to just bow your heads, close your eyes just real quick. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never made that decision to say, you are the Christ. I declare myself, you are. I confess you are the Son of the living God. I confess that you are the Savior of the world. If you've never done that, if you've never invited Jesus, I want you to be in my life. I want to be reconciled to the Father. If you've never ever done that, or you're not even sure, did I do it? I don't know. I want to pray for you today. All I want you to do is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And at 3G, put up your hand. Just put it up high enough where I can see it. And then we're just going to pray for you, all right? And everybody's going to pray. So here you go. You ready? Right now. Here's your chance. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hand up really high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up really high so we can see it, okay? You can do it now. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. Was there anyone who didn't put your hand up? You can still do it right now. Just put it up really high. Anyone? Okay, could you all pray with me? You put your hand up, you pray, but your neighbors are praying, everybody's praying, but say this prayer with me, ready? Say, Lord Jesus, I accept that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you came, that you died for me, and that you're raised for me, and you're seated on high. You did that to forgive me, to bring me into relationship with my Heavenly Father, to set me totally free, and to fill me with the Spirit of God. I believe that. I accept that. I align myself with that right now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. That was so good. Somebody might come and talk to you, tap you on the shoulder, and you know, we don't want decision makers. We're not asking you to join the church, any of that. But you know, there's a journey you just started, which is so amazing. And they may say, hey, we want to help you in that journey. But here's another thing I want to say to this. Your sins are forgiven. You're totally free. You're loved by God. Welcome to the family. He's your Heavenly Father. And you know what? When He knows you, He gives you the keys. It's so good. To a blessed life, a prosperous life, an awesome life. So because the people who gave their testimonies were so long, I've gone a little longer today. But we do have a reception for you right out there. If you've brought guests with you, you can start jumping out right now. If you brought guests and we want them to enjoy that, we're all going to enjoy it together. But if you brought guests, go ahead, head over there right now, and we're going to have a time of fellowship. But you're all invited. You're all invited, and we got enough food for us all to have something, all right? So let me pray for you. I'm going to bless the food, bless our time together. Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? I love that. You know, the testimony. Michelle, I mean, her testimony, she says, I came to Impact Church and I saw everybody was so happy. Except today. I mean, you know, it was a bad day. But that was so awesome. Isn't it great? You come to church, you go, oh my God, they're in church and everybody's happy. Who believed it? Who knew you come to church, they're happy? Oh my God. Father, we just thank you that you are a good father. You're a good, good father. Jesus, I thank you that you're my joint heir, you're my brother, you're my Savior, but you're also my friend. And I thank you that your grace abounds in my life every day. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the comforter, that you're my partner every day. You animate me, flood me, fill me, never leave me, never forsake me. So I command them to go in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and always, in Jesus' name.